the Department of Health and Human Services releases a white paper on drug shortages. The race for a new House Appropriations Chair is officially on. And a bipartisan proposal on privacy rights is released over the weekend. For the week of April 8th, 2024, from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., this is Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. I'm Matt Duckworth.
Chairman Bill Arrakis highlighted data security. We've worked on data minimization, and we've had multiple layers that provide even more protections with a national standard for data privacy. The legislation isn't just about one provision. It's about all the provisions working together to achieve the strongest protections possible.
Kicking off this week's episode with news from Capitol Hill, where House Energy and Commerce Committee Chair Kathy McMorris Rogers, a Republican from Washington who you just heard, and Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee Chair Maria Cantwell, a Democrat from Washington, jointly released a discussion draft for the American Privacy Rights Act over the weekend. The legislation would set a national standard and minimize the data that companies can collect, keep, and use. It would also provide individuals with the right to opt out of targeted advertising and other data practices. The discussion draft provides enforcement by the Federal Trade Commission, state attorneys general, and consumers. Small businesses that are not selling consumers' personal information would be exempt. The discussion draft includes, quote, health information, unquote, under the definition of, quote, sensitive covered data, unquote. Upon release of the discussion draft, House Energy and Commerce Committee Ranking Member Frank Pallone, a Democrat from New Jersey, said, quote, this is a very strong discussion draft, built on the foundation of years of hard work by the Energy and Commerce Committee to strengthen our nation's data privacy laws, unquote.
Appropriations process anew now, and we're starting with the new appropriations process with FY25, and we have got to change the way we're doing things. The things we're doing right now is not appropriate, is not right, and I think the American people are getting tired of it, and so that's why I think the status quo is a failure, and so I'm looking forward to having a chance to try to reform the appropriations process and try to do what I can to make the appropriations work and be accountable to the members.
That was Representative Robert Adderholt, a Republican from Alabama, who last week sent a Dear Colleague letter to the House GOP asking for a delay in a vote to select the next chair of the Appropriations Committee. Adderholt currently leads the Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health, and Human Services Education. Representative Tom Cole, a Republican from Oklahoma, is widely considered the frontrunner to replace outgoing Appropriations Committee Chair Kay Granger of Texas. The GOP Steering Committee is scheduled to meet on April 9th to select a new chair, but Adderholt urged his conference to first conduct an overhaul of the budget process before selecting a new leader. His letter recommends a focus on restoring regular order, strengthening bipartisanship, and promoting fiscal responsibility. The letter reads, quote, instead of hastily selecting a new appropriations chair, I believe that now is the time to focus on correcting the process and developing our theory of government on how we will manage our responsibilities. Unquote. Shifting to some news from the agencies today, where last week the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services finalized the calendar year 2025 rate announcement for the Medicare Advantage program, in line with the agency's January proposal. Payments to Medicare Advantage plans are projected to increase on average of 3.7%, totaling over $16 billion from 2024 to 2025. The agency estimates that the federal government will pay between $500 and $600 billion in Medicare Advantage payments to private health plans in 2025. The rate announcement also finalizes updates to Medicare Advantage payment growth rates and changes to the Medicare Advantage payment methodology to improve payment accuracy. CMS also finalized concurrent changes to the structure of the Medicare Part D drug benefit to implement the Inflation Reduction Act's $2,000 cap on annual out-of-pocket costs for people with Part D in 2025.
We will need authorities from Congress to go beyond what we're doing now. We're talking to Congress. I think Congress recognizes the need to make sure that medicines, where we know the material is there to make the medicines, that medicines don't go short simply because we have a broken...
That was Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Javier Becerra, whose agency last week released a white paper outlining steps the administration has taken to prevent and mitigate drug shortages, and proposing additional solutions for policymakers to consider. The paper focuses specifically on generic sterile injectables used in inpatient settings, though HHS acknowledges that the solutions considered in the paper may be applicable to other markets. HHS recommends further collaboration with the private sector to develop and implement a manufacturer resiliency assessment program and a hospital resiliency supply program. The new programs would be aimed at increasing transparency in the market, linking purchasing and payment decisions to supply chain resilience practices, and incentivizing investments in supply chain resilience and diversification of the supply chain, including domestic manufacturing, to drive impactful change.
Patients die in front of us with not having the proper equipment, seeing people in the waiting room having heart attacks where we can't get access to them quickly is a challenge.
Back to Congress today, where Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee Chairman Gary Peters, a Democrat from Michigan, is requesting information from private equity firms about their impact on emergency department operations. Peters cites patient safety issues raised by emergency physicians about private equity-owned staffing companies and hospitals, highlighting that in some cases, quote, physicians reportedly have been responsible for over 20 beds at a given time, and patients routinely had a 16-hour wait time in emergency departments, unquote. Peters also expresses concerns that companies, quote, previously engaged in surprise billing may now consider other cost-cutting efforts that more directly risk negatively impacting patient safety and care. Unquote. Peters sent letters to Team Health, Envision Healthcare, Apollo Global Management, U.S. Acute Care Solutions, and LifePoint Health. Republicans on the House Energy and Commerce Committee are requesting that the Government Accountability Office, quote, examine the extent to which the National Institutes of Health adequately safeguards research funds from the national security concerns related to the Chinese military or over the unethical use of human beings in research studies, especially from entities of concern in China. Unquote. The lawmakers highlight recent reports about the agency's ability to screen for national security issues and vet foreign collaborators. They pose a series of questions aimed at better understanding the extent of current vulnerabilities and NIH's ability to safeguard federal funding.
Madam Chair, I yield myself as much time as I may consume.
The gentleman is recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in opposition to the legislation. You know, I'm disappointed that today we once again...
That was Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat from Arizona, who announced last week that he's been diagnosed with cancer. Grijalva has sought treatment several weeks ago for a persistent cough, which was initially diagnosed as pneumonia. In a statement, the congressman said, quote, "This diagnosis has been difficult to process, but I am confident in the vigorous course of treatment that my medical team has developed, and I've begun my journey to fight this cancer," unquote. Grijalva does not plan to resign from Congress and will continue to work and run for re-election as he undergoes treatment.
My home state of Arizona, I felt that voters were paying attention. They were looking at the candidates. They were looking at the quality of the candidates. They were thinking about their positions. And I think a lot of the sober candidates really won. And that to me is heartening. I want every voter to be informed and look at each person for who he or she is, rather than perhaps just the party label. That
was the voice of Dr. Amish Shah, an Arizona state representative and emergency physician by training, who's running to flip Representative David Schweikert's Republican-held seat in Arizona. At least five other Democratic doctors are running for the House of Representatives this election cycle, with many of their platforms focused on access to reproductive health and bringing down the cost of health care. Others running include Minnesota State Senator Kelly Morrison, an OBGYN, who's running to replace retiring Representative Dean Phillips, a Democrat from Minnesota. Maxine Dexter, a pulmonary and critical care doctor, who's running in the Democratic primary to replace retiring Representative Earl Blumenauer of Oregon. Tim Peck, an emergency room physician who's running to flip Representative Aaron Hoshin's Republican-held seat in Indiana. Bob Lorenzer, a family physician who's running in the Democratic primary for Michigan's 1st Congressional District, a seat which is currently held by Republican Representative Jack Bergman. And Kristen Lierley, an OBGYN, who's unopposed in the Democratic primary in the race to represent Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, a seat opened by the retirement of Republican Representative Mike Gallagher.
The meeting will come to order. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee organizing meeting for the 118th Congress.
The Committee on Energy and Commerce will come to order. The chair recognizes herself for an opening statement.
And it's a pleasure to bring together the first meeting of the Finance Committee in the 118th Congress.
Good morning. The Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions will come to order. All right.
We end each week's episode with the call to order, where we lightning round congressional meetings and hearings in the near future that you need to know about. First, on Tuesday, April 9th at 2:30 p.m., the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on State, Foreign Operations, and Related Programs holds the hearing, a review of the President's Fiscal Year 2025 budget request for the U.S. Agency for International Development. Second, on Tuesday, April 9th at 2:30 p.m., the Senate Finance Subcommittee on Healthcare convenes a hearing titled Closing Gaps in the Care Continuum, Opportunities to Improve Substance Use Disorder Care in the Federal Health Programs. Third, on Tuesday, April 9th at 3 p.m., the House Veterans Affairs Subcommittee on Technology Modernization hosts an oversight hearing entitled VA Supply Chain Modernization. Ready for prime time? Fourth, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the Senate Judiciary Committee gavels in a hearing titled Artificial Intelligence and Intellectual Property, Part 3, IP Protection for AI-Assisted Interventions and Creative Works. Fifth, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works holds the hearing Examining the State of Air Quality Monitoring Technology. Sixth, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hosts a hearing titled Fiscal Year 2025 United States Agency for International Development Budget Request. Seventh, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the House Energy and Commerce Subcommittee on Health convenes the hearing Legislative Proposals to Support Patient Access to Telehealth Services. Eighth, on Wednesday, April 10th at 10 a.m., the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security gavels in a hearing titled Fiscal Year 2025 Request for the Department of Homeland Security. Ninth, on Wednesday, April 10th at 2:30 p.m., the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security holds a hearing entitled A Review of the President's Fiscal Year 2025 Budget Request for the Department of Homeland Security. 10th, on Thursday, April 11th at 10 a.m., the Senate Finance Committee hosts the hearing Bolstering Chronic Care Through Medicare Physician Payment. 11th, on Thursday, April 11th at 1 p.m., the House Oversight and Accountability Committee convenes a hearing titled Oversight of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. 12th, on Thursday, April 11th at 1:30 p.m., the House Appropriations Subcommittee on State, Foreign Operations, and Related Programs convenes the hearing Fiscal Year 2025 Request for the United States Agency for International Development. 13th, on Thursday, April 11th at 2 p.m., the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Homeland Security holds a member day hearing. And last, on Wednesday, May 1st, the House Energy and Commerce Committee will hold a hearing with EcoHealth Alliance President Dr. Peter Desick. The time of this hearing has yet to be determined. Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of Health on the Hill, brought to you by Heart Health Strategies. For more information on this week's healthcare happenings in the administration and on Capitol Hill, you can visit our website at hhs.com and click on the news section at the top of the page. You can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Did we miss a story you wanted to hear this week? If so, email me at mduckworth@hhs.com, and we may include it in our next episode. Have a great week, and stay healthy.